final case for oral argument this morning is In Re the Dependency of A.D.
Good morning, Your Honors.
Good morning.
I'd like to reserve 3 minutes.
3 minutes, all right.
Let's see if that's possible.
You may proceed.
Thank you. The department contends that if we permit intervention by Ms. Dimitri in this case, that everything will change as far as the landscape in dependency proceedings are concerned, and it will be all for the bad. Because the department likes to define parent or custodian in a very traditional sense. And that's what they would urge the court to adopt, are traditional definitions of parent or custodian, in order to bar Ms. Dimitri, in this case, from intervening in the action related to her child, at least a child that she considered to be her own.
Well, in the first question, though, whether the order from Judge Halpert is even appealable?
That was one of the questions that was addressed by the party before Commissioner Kanazawa. And we would respectfully contend that it is, because the order revising Commissioner Laird terminated Ms. Dimitri's ability to participate in the dependency proceedings. It was over at that point.
So you're arguing that the substantial right that was affected was established by the order that was entered by the commissioner.
That's correct. That she was given the right, recognized by many cases dating back to LB, as a de facto parent, to participate in these dependency proceedings. Because then the other issue that arose, which is something that the state is equally concerned about, or the department is equally concerned about, and that is whether or not you can raise the issue of de facto parentage in a dependency proceeding. And there really isn't any case law on that particular proposition. DM and SR dealt with that very briefly. In that particular case, they didn't need to reach the merits of that particular issue because they found that the, I believe it was the aunt and her partner in that particular case, were not de facto parents. So they never reached the issue of whether or not
It wasn't even raised in the trial court, was it? It wasn't raised until it was on appeal.
Yeah, not until it was on appeal.
So it was never addressed in the trial court.
No, it wasn't addressed in the trial court. They had the record before it, and the opinion in DM and SR is really, it doesn't really speak to that particular issue. It was interesting because Commissioner Kanazawa pointed us to an unpublished opinion out of Division II. And in that particular opinion, there again, they briefly address, and that was KDMS. It was decided in February 17, 2016, whether or not you could raise this issue in a dependency proceeding. And they didn't address it then either, because they found that the parties in question were not de facto parents. So they didn't need to reach it.
What would be wrong with a requirement, say, that Ms. Dimitri, if I'm pronouncing your name correctly, would file a parentage action?
Because
and then move to join it or consolidate it with the dependency case?
Well, there wouldn't be anything wrong procedurally, I guess, in doing so. And I think the cases have already said that you could do that. The problem would be having the wherewithal to do that, because in a public defense setting, the parties before the court, in this particular case, for sure, are penniless. So they can't run out and hire a lawyer to pursue a third-party custody proceeding, an adoption proceeding, or any other proceeding that might arguably be a form wherein which they could litigate that issue. They just don't have the wherewithal to do that. It was interesting, too, because Judge Halpert based her opinion in large part upon the proposition that there were statutory remedies that were otherwise available to Ms. Dimitri. And so she should exercise those remedies and not be permitted to intervene in this dependency case. Well, it's great if she were able to do so, but it is not It does not preclude her from raising the issue of de facto parentage in a dependency case. None of the cases that the court has addressed since, and there have been a number, because in 2006 there were a couple different cases that came up, and then more recently in AFJ and BMH, Justice Gonzalez touched upon those issues very briefly. And that is to say, there's nothing in LB that precludes somebody from raising that in a dependency setting. LB has been broadly construed to be available to any number of parents or parties that were historically unable to participate in the process of, say, for instance, grandparents, foster parents, friends, partners,
so,
and everybody else.
You're suggesting then that if we allow Ms. Dimitri to participate as a alleged de facto parent,
correct,
that then grandparents could also intervene?
Absolutely.
Foster parents could intervene?
Absolutely. If they meet the criteria established in LB.
With that, dependency proceedings generally are viewed as basically for the welfare of the child and for correcting any parental deficiencies that might exist so the family might be reunited. By allowing these other folks to intervene, doesn't it detract from focusing on that particular issue?
I don't think that it does, only because, in fact, if you meet the criteria in LB, you are a parent.
My problem with that is now, for example, let's say Ms. Jenkins just changed her mind and decided she wanted to be the actual parent for this child.
Okay.
And we've got Ms. Dimitri, who also wants to be the parent for this child. Then doesn't it set up a contest now between the two parents about who is going to be the ultimate parent for this child, instead of focusing on the child's welfare and instead of focusing on whether or not this mother has deficiencies that can be corrected? We're now in this contest between putative parents about who is going to have custody of the child.
I think that's always true in the context of a custody battle, in the context of parental fitness, in the context of third-party adoptions, because you have a lot of people who change various roles throughout the course of a life. In this particular case, who begin as partners, who end as antagonists. Thank you.
You'll have 3 minutes in rebuttal.
Thanks. Sorry.
Good morning.
Good morning. May it please the Court, I'm Kelly Taylor, Assistant Attorney General on behalf of the Department of Social and Health Services, Children's Administration. And the Department is asking this Court to treat Ms. Dimitri's notice of appeal as a motion for discretionary review and to deny review. The underlying order in this case was an order that denied Ms. Dimitri's motion to intervene.
So you're asking us to reach the question of whether it would be subject to review as a discretionary review matter?
We're asking it be treated as a motion for discretionary review and that the review be denied.
It's my understanding, I know you've addressed that, but it's my understanding that Ms. Dimitri has not addressed the criteria for discretionary review. So wouldn't we first focus on appealability?
Yes.
Well, maybe you could focus
on
that.
Let me focus on appealability. So the only possible category under RAP 2.2 for this matter to be appealed would be subsection A3. And this matter doesn't fit under subsection A3 for two reasons. One, Ms. Dimitri does not have a substantial right in AD's dependency case. And two, the order at issue did not determine the action or prevent a final judgment or discontinue the action. So Ms. Dimitri does not have a substantial right in AD's case. And she wasn't granted a substantial right by the commissioner's ruling, which was an erroneous ruling.
Why would you disagree with that? I mean, the commissioner did make the ruling, did she not?
She made a ruling that was erroneous and which Judge Halpert revised, and the department would maintain that Judge Halpert's revision was the correct ruling on the issue. So there is a statutory scheme that determines who participates in the dependency proceeding, and the substantial rights under RAP 2.2A3 would flow from those statutory definitions. Ms. Dimitri does not meet any of those statutory definitions. Under 1304.011, a parent is defined as a biological or adoptive parent. She's neither of those for AD.
So your position would be that, let's say that she had established that she was a de facto parent. Your position would be, even as a de facto parent, she wouldn't be permitted to participate in dependency proceedings?
If she had established that she was a de facto parent, then the next question under LB and the other Supreme Court cases from 2013 would be, what are the extent of her rights based on the child's best interests? So we would, which is, gets to the other point that we're making, which is that you need a separate proceeding, really, a parentage proceeding to establish de facto parentage, because you need the four-part test of LB to be addressed. Those elements, there should be a case schedule generated. There should be a fact-finding hearing on those issues.
So wasn't that Judge Halpert's ruling?
That's correct. That's exactly what Judge Halpert determined. That
there were other remedies available.
That there were other remedies available, and she also determined that one does not establish parentage in a dependency proceeding.
So I'm trying to figure out procedurally how this would work. Let's say that Ms. Dimitri filed her parentage action or her third-party custody action, however she would describe it, the moment she was removed as a party from the dependency case. Wouldn't she have had to get permission from the dependency judge to do that? Because that would be like a family law proceeding, and there's exclusive jurisdiction. Why would any judge give her permission to do that?
Well, de facto parentage is an equitable remedy. So the court needs to be prompted on the based on the merits of what's being presented to apply that equitable remedy. So in this case, it's hard to see how the court would grant an order of concurrent jurisdiction to allow her to establish de facto parentage, given the fact that she has two convictions for accessory after the fact to first-degree murder. But in general, the first prong of the de facto parentage four-part test, the element that needs to be met is that the natural parent has consented to and fostered this relationship. So the natural parent will be a party to the dependency proceeding. So the natural parent then could move for the order of concurrent jurisdiction so that the de facto parent could then move to have de facto parentage established. But
within the confines of the dependency case just as a concurrent case?
We would maintain it would need to be a separate proceeding with a separate separate petition, just as you would for a paternity action.
So we have all these telescope timeframes in dependency cases, right, and less so for other cases. Would the court have to increase the time on the dependency case to allow for a de facto parent to try to make his or her case, or telescope the other case? How I'm just trying to figure out how this would all work if you had to have these two proceedings.
Well, and if it could be, maybe it could be brought into unified family court, and it could have a condensed time frame in that way. But the dependency statutes do authorize the juvenile court to do a number of things.
So Judge Halpert's ruling did not preclude concurrent jurisdiction to consider the separate proceeding for a de facto parent.
No, I mean, Judge Halpert, one of the determinations made by Judge Halpert was that you don't establish de facto parentage by filing a motion in a dependency case.
But so that didn't preclude coming, raising a filing a de facto parenting and then asking Judge Halpert to exercise her discretion to have concurrent jurisdiction.
I think that's exactly what Judge Halpert would envision.
So on your discretionary review argument, you're arguing that there was no error in Judge Halpert's ruling.
Right. There was no error in Judge Halpert's ruling.
If we got there.
If you get there. There certainly was no probable error. There was no obvious error, so one doesn't need to get there. But it was primarily an order denying a motion to intervene, and that's what the motion that was filed, and that's what Judge Halpert denied. And this is an issue that's reviewed under abuse of discretion standard. And this, the fact of the matter is that this was a motion to intervene filed 14 months after she was removed as a party in AD's case. So we are talking about these condensed time frames, and this is an individual who waited 14 months after she was removed as a party. And, by the way, she was personally served with the petition which removed her as a party. I want to make sure I point that out because I don't know that I addressed it in my brief.
But she continued to attempt to participate in the proceedings, did she not? Didn't she file a couple of reports at the dependency reviews and so forth?
She did, and the department's response was to strike those and to seek revision, and there was a July 2015 order from Judge Halpert that said she had no standing in AD's case, which was not, there was no motion for discretion review filed from that order. So that
it was following that she did the motion to intervene, though.
Correct. Following that, she did the motion.
As soon as she got notice from Judge Halpert that she was, the judge decided she was not a party or had no standing, she did move to intervene at that point.
But this is a year and a half after she was removed as a party to the proceeding. It was after she had agreed to dependency on AD's sibling. So AD's biological mother agreed to dependency on the same date that Ms. Dimitri agreed to dependency on the sibling, JJ.
Let me ask just as
there was notice.
A little curiosity, I guess, but the trial in this date, the last I saw was set for sometime in April. Did the case go to trial? Or
the case was postponed.
It was postponed?
Yes.
Pending this outcome of this appeal or postponed for some
time? I'm not clear on that. I brought Mr. Jones.
Yes, I'm the assigned AG to the case. It was postponed. Judge Halpert granted a continuance based on FMLA for one of the attorneys and then also pending this appeal.
Okay.
September 26th is our new
trial
date. Thank you.
So we better get an opinion out before then.
I do want to argue my alternative on de facto parentage, was that even if this court decides that one could establish de facto parentage by way of a motion in a dependency case, this motion was not an adequate motion that provided due process. And one of my main arguments in support of that is that the cost, if you look at the CASA's response, the CASA on CP 890 states, the motion states no legal basis for intervention. So it's clear that the most important person that's in this, determination on parentage, the child's own advocate, didn't know that that's what they were asking for. So we would, for those reasons, ask that discretionary review be denied.
Thank you.
Thank you.
You have 3 minutes.
Good morning again. Briefly, with respect to the issue of direct appeal, we would refer the court to In Re Parentage of JBR, decided on October 23rd, 2014. It is a Division III case, but basically they found that it was reviewable on appeal because they presented a controlling question of law as to which there are substantial grounds for difference of opinion, and the resolution of which would materially advance the ultimate termination of the litigation. In this particular case, there is no question that there is an abundance of differing opinions, at least from the state's perspective, about whether or not you can pursue a de facto parentage claim in a dependency proceeding.
I want to be clear on
sure.
Ms. Dimitri's position. You're not seeking discretionary review.
You're just asking for appeal
as a matter
Absolutely.
Of
right.
Okay.
We would ask, actually, I'd be interested to see if the court would consider referring this matter to the Supreme Court, because Justice Gonzalez has addressed the issue very recently in two different cases related to de facto parentage and or to address the issues raised or the confusion raised by MF, because at one point there was an issue with respect to a statutory gap, and that issue has been addressed and sealed. You no longer need a statutory gap, which is another issue as far as Ms. Dimitri is concerned, because I don't know that she would qualify in a third-party custody proceeding. I don't know.
or an adoption proceeding, especially now that the state has these children, have both of them. When it comes to the issue of prejudice that the state has addressed very briefly to the department, these cases have tracked together since day one, since the shelter care hearing in this case. All the issues are the same with respect to both children. And actually, with respect to Jacob Jenkins, which is before the court today, or not before the court, the court issued another ruling last week that said that Judge Halpert is going to maintain her position that you can't raise de facto parentage in the context of a dependency proceeding. That is exactly what Judge Kanazawa addressed, and she said, no published opinion or case appears to have squarely determined the applicability of de facto parentage doctrine in dependency proceedings. And then she addressed very briefly DMS and DM, as she has described it in KDMS. That is the issue of grave importance as far as Ms. Demetri is concerned, because if you don't have the wherewithal to pursue a third-party adoption or a third-party custody proceeding, and you are in a dependency proceeding related to a child that you have raised since birth and has been taken from you by the state, where else do you go? Her remedies are limited by her circumstances, and that's why we appealed to this court to accept direct review, address the issues before the court today, find that she is a de facto parent, which has never been disputed by the department, by the way. Those all of the factors have been met by Ms. Demetri since day one, and they are with respect to the companion case that's currently pending as well. The issue then becomes whether or not you can address that matter in a dependency proceeding. Thank you very much.
Thank you. That concludes our calendar for today.
Court is in recess.